Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Dalet. So, we've talked about the dinim of Eidos when it comes to Tuma, the dinim of Eidos when it comes to Stira, and the dinim of Eidos when it comes to Kinui. We've taken a look at all of the various Shitot. But we never really defined precisely what would be the Eidot of Stira. How long would this woman need to be alone, that it's included in the husband's warning? Do not be alone. So what's happening? We didn't give you a shear. Well, that shear is kedei tum'ah. The reason that the Torah mentions the v'hi nitma'ah is v'nistra v'hi nitma'ah, to tell me that the time of the stira is the time that it would take for her to be nitma'ah. And what is that? That's the amount of time that it takes for intercourse, kidebiyah. And what is that? What do we mean, kidebiyah? We mean kidehara. We do not mean the full manti. We mean hara. So hara, remember we had a machlokas, whether hara is a minimal insertion or hara is even less than that. And it's called nishikat ever, so to speak, a kiss, a genital kiss with genitals. Which, how much is that? Well, that's kidei hakafat dekel. At least, that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. As long as it takes to walk around a palm tree. It's not very long. Palm trees are pretty small trees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, well, that's not exactly the amount of time. It's the amount of time that it takes to mix the water into the wine. So that's mizigat hakos. Mistoma akos of a revi'it, which is the standard kos. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's the amount of time to drink the revi'it. Ben Azai says, it's the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. I've never roasted an egg, but I suppose you can do it. So kedei litzlot beitza. Rabbi Akiva Aymer, no, it's the time it takes to gulp down that egg. So kidei legom ah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Aymer, nah, it's not one egg that you gotta be gomea, three eggs. Zachar zeh. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmi Aymer, kidei likshor gardi nima. It's the amount of time it takes a weaver, and he's a big expert, to tie a torn thread, so you should be able to tie the threads together. Chonin ben Pinchas Omer, kidei shetoshit yada letoch pia litol kisan. It's the amount of time it takes to put her hand into her mouth and take a piece of broken toothpick out from between her teeth. Pulema Omer, kidei shetoshit yada lesal litol kikar. It's the amount of time it takes her to put her hand into a basket and take out a loaf of bread. I can't prove it to you, but I can tell you that my vision of it is very much merubas in the Torah, and there's a zecher ledavar, because the Torah strangely interrelates ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. We'll see more about that pasuk before, but anyway, it means that the amount, what I'm saying is, the amount of time ad kikar lechem is what it would take to sleep with an isha zona. Very strange. Okay, so now the question is, why do we take all of those different steps? You say, kidei tuma, which is what? Well, that's kidei bi'a, which is what? Well, that's the amount of time that it takes for hara, which is what? I mean, couldn't we just go straight to the point and say, everybody should say what the shear is, right? You know, kidei akafas deka, whatever you feel. Kidei ligmoa beitza. So why would we be going through these separate steps before we get to the actual shitas about what all of these things are? Well, says Gemara, no, that for sure I need to know. Now, by the way, I just want to point out that Tosis brings over here that all of these times that we're talking about are clearly not including the specific times, which would depend on how the person is dressed. I mean, you do have to get undressed to manage any of this. So the question, therefore, is always in addition to the facts on the ground. I mean, you know, taking off a girdle is a real problem. I mean, there may be all kinds of different dress you have to take into consideration. All right. So not everybody's got a zipper, remember? I mean, those days, things might have been a bit more complicated. But whatever it would take. So that the Yerushalmi says. We're not including that. That's a given. But these are the actual times for four steps. Why do we need all those steps? Let's say the Tana would have just said, Kidei Tum'a, or what would that have meant? I would have thought that Kidei Tum'a means the amount of time that you would assume would take somebody to actually get a woman ready to have sex with him. I mean, you can't just jump into it. So he's got to actually include the Zman La'arsota. I mean, I don't know. That could take 5-10 minutes. I mean, this is a major deal. You can't actually accomplish that in an elevator. Well, you used to anyway. So if that's the question, then I need to clarify that that's not true and that we're talking about the worst possible case. The worst possible case was they've already agreed to meet in the telephone booth. The question is how long it's going to take him in the telephone booth. That's why we say that Kidei Tum'a, but don't think that it means Kidei Tum'a. It would mean only Kidei Bi'a, only for the Bi'a itself. Now, it's only the combination of the two that makes it clear that it means not including any time that it would take for discussions, right? Because, I mean, if it would have just said Kidei Bi'a, I would have said, oh, yeah, I mean, you mean Kidei Bi'a in talking to her. But if you're telling me Kidei Tum'a and Bi Tum'a mean, I mean only the actual act of Bi'a. So then that is making it very clear that we're assuming that they've agreed on a quickie and that there is no time for any types of discussion. Okay, let's say it would have just said Kidei Bi'a after Kidei Tum'a. I would have said, yes, but Bi'a means Gmar Bi'a. It doesn't mean just to answer her, no, kidei ha'ara, only the amount of time that it takes to start. So let's just imagine it would have skipped, I would have just said kidei ha'ara. I would have said, but that also means kidei ha'ara v'artzota, that we're just clarifying that we don't need all of the time that it would take to actually complete an act of intercourse. But it does require talking to her to seduce her. So basically, if we didn't have all of these, I wouldn't have known precisely what I'm talking about. And then we ask, and how much is that? Now, of course, the question arises that if we're talking here about such a brief shear, I mean, how serious are we about all of this? It seems ridiculous. Whether it's hakafat dekel, remember, it's going to get a lot worse. I mean, you'd think you'd have to ask, well, how wide is the dekel? You know, are we talking about a circumference of 2 feet or 2.3 feet? I mean, what is the practical difference in terms of all of the shiurim? So let's see how it gets even worse, okay? And then there aren't any real good answers, but I think we might have a suggestion. So there's another brisa. Okay, now in this brisa, we end up with a lot of what appear to be contradictions in the shitas. Because, I mean, we've got close to 10 shitas in this sugya, and over here, half of them have changed their mind. Well, it's actually 9, so it's 5 out of 9, so it's more than half. For Amini, let's take the other brayta. The other brayta takes a look at the pasuk. It says, Vinistra. Okay. Kama shiur stira lo shamanu. When the Torah uses the word Vinistra, I don't know what that means. That's why it says Vihini tma'a. To tell me, Nistra, the shir of Nistra, is to actually become Nitma'a. Havi omer kidei tuma. But what does that mean? That means Kidei Bi'a. What does that mean? What do we mean about Kidei Bi'a? We mean Kidei Ha'ara. And then, Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, now that we've established that, let me tell you the time of Kidei Hara, which is Kidei Chazor HaZdekel. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kidei Mizigat HaKos. Ben Azai Omer, Kidei Lishtoto. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kidei Litzlot Beitza. Rabbi Yudah Ben Betero Omer, Kidei L'Gom'a. Now notice that we've got some serious discrepancies over here, right? In the first brighter, Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said Hakafat Dekel, and Rabbi Eliezer arguing on him and said Mizigat HaKos. In this brighter, we have Rabbi Eliezer saying Chazarat Dekel, which sounds like the same thing. Hakafat Dekel, Chazarat Dekel. So, and he doesn't say Mizigat HaKos. Rabbi Yoshua here says Mizigat HaKos, which is what Rabbi Eliezer said there. And in there, Rabbi Yoshua said the amount of time it takes to drink the kos. I mean, what happened? Ben Azai in the first brisa said the amount of time it takes to be tsole a beitza. And in this brisa, he says the amount of time it takes to actually swallow the kidei lishtot the mezigas hakos. Nothing to do with beitza. Rabbi Akiva in the first brisa said the amount of time it takes to roast a beitza, which is what Ben Azai says over here. The first price, he said, the amount of time it takes to swallow the roasted bitza. And over here, he says what Ben Azai says, the amount of time it takes to actually roast the bitza. And Rabbi Yudah ben Pesera, in the first brita, said, no, it's three beitzim. And in this brita, he says, one bitza. Kidei l'goma. What's going on? So that is what the Gemara now is going to be masbir. Okay. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, how do you explain? I mean, first of all, we assume, we do make an assumption, that hakafat tekel means chazarat tekel, and therefore we have a contradiction, because in the first brisa, Rabbi Shmuel said hakafat tekel, and Rabbi Eliezer argued, and he said, no, that's not true, it's kidei mizigat hakos. And over here, we find that actually Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says the same thing, and says kidei chazarat dekel, assuming that chazarat dekel is the same thing. Omer Abaye, there's two different issues over here. Hakafa means walking around a palm tree. And chazara means that when a palm tree has been attacked by the wind, so now the leaves of a palm tree, they sway a lot, right? So it takes a little bit of time until the tree stabilizes again. That's what it's referring to. Chazarat means chazarat beruach. So after the tree has been blown about, when it settles down. Boy Ravashi, when you're talking, now here's where we really go crazy about the shiurim. When you're talking about chazarat beruach, does that include the amount of time that the branch waves out of the way and then comes back? Or does it talking only about odiomak? Maybe it means both directions, has to go back and forth, and then it settles down. So in other words, we're talking about another tenth of a second. I mean, like, what in the world is going on over here? Teiku, an amazingly impossible to answer question. And it's hashlachot, very unclear. Okay, in the first price, Rabbi Eliezer said, kidei mizigat hakos. And over here, he gets this business about moving palm trees. What is that? Well, it's the same thing. He's just giving you another reference. The amount of time it takes to pour water into a kos of a ravias is the same thing as the amount of time that it takes a palm tree to settle back down. Okay. Hasamam Rabbi Yeshua, in the first brisa, Rabbi Yeshua said that it's the amount of time it takes to drink a cup of wine. And over here he says it's the amount of time it takes to mix the cup of wine. Well, which one is it? Well, he means in both cases the same thing. To drink a cup of wine means to mix it properly with water and then to drink it. So it means both. How come you didn't take the easy way out and just say it's the same shear? That's what you said a minute ago. So you could always say that. You know, it's the same amount of time it takes to pour the water into the cup as it takes to drink it. So you could have said that, no? Idividi chachiuro? No, you couldn't. Because if you did, then you would be saying that what it is that Rabbi Yoshua is saying is exactly the same as what Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the case of Mizigat HaKos. So it can't be the same thing. Because you said that in both prizes, Rabbi Eliezer was saying Mizigata Kos and or Chazar Hazdekel, which is the same shear. So if you're going to tell me this is the same shear, drinking is the same thing as Mizigata Kos, now you're really off the wall because now everybody's saying the same thing. So we couldn't have missaid that, okay? How about the other problem? Awesome. In the first brisa, Ben Azai says the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. And here he says the amount of time it takes to drink a cup of wine. Well, that we could say is the same shear. Idividi chachiura. Okay. In the first brisa, Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time it takes to swallow that egg that Ben Azai was talking about, which, by the way, was the reason that we put Ben Azai before Rabbi Akiva, even though Ben Azai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, because we want to go in order of the Seder. If Ben Azai is talking about making the egg, and Rabbi Akiva is talking about eating the egg, so we couldn't eat the egg before we made it, right? So we take that Seder. Okay, that's very sweet. But why can't we just say, so it says the Gemara, it must be that both times Rabbi Akiva means the amount of time it takes not just to swallow the egg, but to roast it and swallow it. So, I mean, why don't we want to say it's all the same shear? No, because then Rabbi Akiva would be saying what Ben Azai said, right? So we can't say it's all the same shear. Because, I mean, if Ben Azai says in the first price, the amount of time it takes to roast an egg, and the second time it takes Mizigas Akos, and we're saying that's the same amount of time. So then if we say that Rabbi Akiva's swallowing the egg Begemiah, or roasting the egg are also the same time, so then that means he's saying exactly the same that Ben Azai said both times. They're all saying the same thing. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. How do you explain Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? I mean, the first price, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, the amount of time it takes to be gomea three beitzim one after the other. And here he says, the amount of time it takes to swallow one. That you can't answer as saying it's the same shear, obviously. So what are you going to say there? No, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was addressing Rabbi Akiva. You missed the point. He's not saying his shita. What he's saying in the first brisa is you, Rabbi Akiva, you are saying that we have two issues, the roasting of the egg and then swallowing the egg that you roasted, right? Why do you need to mix your metaphors over here? Well, roasting is one thing, swallowing is another thing. You want to talk about swallowing? You could talk about swallowing three eggs, which is exactly the same as the amount of time it takes to roast one egg and to swallow it. So therefore, you could have simply done that and kept it simple. He wasn't saying his own sheet. His own sheet is one egg is sufficient. And now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya, who says, Kedeshi Ikshor Gardinima, an expert weaver, how long would it take him to tie a thread? Asked Ravashi, well, how far apart were the threads? Were they an inch apart or were they half an inch apart? So are we talking about the Merachik or the Mekarev? I mean, it takes slightly longer to actually be able to tie the threads together if they're further apart, right? So, okay. I mean, we shouldn't talk about it. Why not talk about how wide or how big the circumference of the palm tree is also. I mean, once you're asking questions like this, take her. And then Chanan ben Pinchas Omer, the amount of time it takes for a woman to put her finger into her mouth to take out a toothpick that got stuck between her teeth. Boy, Ravashi, how tight is the toothpick that got stuck? What? Are we talking about the Mahadik? Is it like really stuck in there? Oh, the Lo Mahadik, or it comes out easily. Take him. Another one of these amazing questions. Plimo Amar. Then we had Plimo at the end saying, from the Pasuk Berames, Kedei Shetoshit Yadal Esal Litol Kikar. The amount of time it takes her to get her hand into a basket to take out a loaf. Boy, Ravashi. I mean, how tight is the Kikar? Is it like really stuck in there? You know, she's got to pull and get rid of the other ones. Or not. I mean, amount of time could be double the amount of time. And what are we talking about? Is this a new basket or is it an old basket? What's the difference? Well, a new basket always has these little pieces of the weave sticking out, you know, and it could get caught in the bread. So if you're going to be taking it out of a new basket, you have to be much more careful because you get torn the bread on all of these pieces from the basket that are sticking in. If it's an old basket, then it's smoothed down already. Are we talking about a chamima or bikurira? I mean, is the loaf of bread, is it warm or is it soft? Well, I mean, it depends, you know. If it's going to be soft, so then you might have to be careful in how you're taking it out. If it's already cold and it's a solid piece, it comes right out. Are we talking about wheat bread? Or are we talking about barley bread? Maybe today we could even wonder if it's spelt bread. Because there also, wheat is much smoother. Burakiko, bakusha, we're talking about a soft kind of dough. Or are we talking about a hard kind of dough, more like a matzah? It's going to be different amount of times. Teiku, another amazing question. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rav Yochanan. This is even crazier. Where do all of these shitas come from? Every one of these shitas comes from a Tana's personal experience of how long it takes him to get going. So who cares? What in the world? So ko echad v'echad bi'atzmo shir. Everybody was taking his own experience at sex and giving it over for your edification. What? That's not possible because Ben Azai never got married. So what is he supposed to know? This is quite embarrassing for Ben Azai to be telling us his personal experiences, isn't it? Ve'ike Ben Azai delo nasiv. Well, there's three possibilities. Maybe he actually had once gotten married. And then when he got to the point of Choshka Navshay B'Teira, he got rid of his wife, and he ended up married to the Teira. Or, Yibois Ema Mirabe Shemiele, maybe this is a big problem because Lechora, his Rebbe was Rebbe Akiva, but Rebbe Akiva had given a different shir. Okay, a lot of discussion. Did Ben Azai learn from someone else also? And Yibois Ema Soda Shemli Reyov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the information. Which, as the Rosh explains, obviously doesn't mean gave him the shear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give you the shear of stira, lo b'shamayimi, and what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu canceled all the other shitas. Sorry, boys, you're all wrong. I got it straight from the Lord. Right? So this soda shemli reyav simply means, Ben Azai, I can tell you how long it would take you to get going if you were married. So you can use that as the shear. Absolutely wild, right? What does this mean? All kinds of discussions. What is this about? That everybody is bringing their experience to teach you about how short of a time you need to be Zoyer. That even this is, I think the Nekuda is, this is my suspicion, is that we're going back to the Getter of Raglayim Ladover. Remember that we understood in Nazir that the meaning of Raglayim Ladover is not simply the idea that we have a basis for like Chazaka, let's say, those cases that we had by Tumas HaTohum and so on. What do we learn Raglayim Ladover meant? That is increased sensitivity that makes us need to take into consideration the awareness of the Tuma, and therefore it's no longer Tuma Satohom, the Mashal. So in all of the cases, the Raglayim Ladover had to do with translating into experience what it was that the Torah was saying. It's not just halacha b'alma, you have a cheskas tuma. No, it's the cheskas tuma changes things because the cheskas tuma creates raglayim ladover. If the idea over here by Saita is entirely based on raglayim ladover, then that would mean that it forces us to consider much more strongly the edus of an eid echad than we normally would because of the raglayim ladover. But that raglayim ladover therefore means an increased sensitivity because of our own experience. Therefore, everybody has to tell you their own personal shir. That's what it would mean. It might even mean more than that. It might even mean that in order to be able to translate Raglayim Ladover into a halacha of Ne'emonis of an Eid Echad, you would need to actually have someone to be Seimechan, Rabbi Akiva or Ben Azai, whatever the case may be, that is an actual experience of worrying about it. So let's say somebody that it would take him to do Hara 35 seconds, right? And he had been, Mazir, his wife, Mekanes Ishtar. So now, if he's in a matzav where his wife was alone for 15 seconds, so he feels there's no raglayim ledavar. And when an eid echad comes along and says, no, she was, get out of here. Nobody's that fast, right? Or the same could be true about the dayan. So in other words, having an actual experience is central to the concept of raglayim ledavar, in which case this would fit directly into the way in which we use it in nazir. I don't know of any other way to really understand this, because if not, I mean, it's almost like a joke. Well, we're interested in everybody's experiences and how long it takes them to do hara. I mean, hara isn't even serious. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's technical. What does nishikat aver mean? I mean, like, you know, what kind of time are we talking about over here? So therefore, I think that this would be the getter, and that's why it's also nogea sod Hashem lireyav. In other words, okay, what would you feel is a raglayim ledavar? That's the point. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really telling Ben Azai, look, I could tell you, man, you haven't had any real experiences, but I could tell you what it's like. That's outrageous. Okay, so that's the point. Really amazing. Okay, anyway, getting on to Plimai. So Plimai said, I can tell you there's a remez in the Pasuk, and that remez in the Pasuk is such a strange remez. Ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lacha. What's the relationship between a isha zona and a kikar lacha? So now we know that the Torah always refers at some level to a sexual act as eating, right? So that's the achla umachta pia va'amra lo pa'alti oven. Or, pasuk directly in the Chumash, ki im et ha'lechem asher hu ochel. So that's exactly what the remez is, ki im at ba'adat ishto, right? Ba'adat ishto. That's how lechem asher hu ochel, the Torah calls. So therefore, we want to see more interesting remezim that the relationship of isha zona and ba'ad kikar lechem. What does that mean? So Dorish Rav Avira, zimnim omer lamishpei de Rav Ami, v'zimnim omer lamishpei de Rav Asi, kol ha'ochel lechem belo netilat yadayim ki'ilu ba'al isha zona. Incredible idea. So somebody would eat bread, wouldn't be mekayim, the takana of netilat yadayim, it's as if he's sleeping with a zona. Shenemar, ki ba'ad isha zona, ad kikar lachem. Says Rava, you have it backwards. I mean, according to this, if it says, ba'ad isha zona, ad kikar lachem, that doesn't mean that. It should have said, ba'ad kikar lachem, ad isha zona. That if you went ahead and you took your kikar lechem without netilat yadayim, that would be getting to the point where you would be sleeping with a zonami boy. That's what it should have said. Therefore, I don't think that that's what it means. I think it means, Elo Amar Rava, kol haba alisha zonah, that if you're sleeping with a whore, lesof mevakesh kikar lechem, you will end up in a state of such complete aniyut that you'll have to beg for a piece of bread to eat. Omer Rebbe Zreko, Omer Rebbe Elazar, kol ha-mezalzo b'netilat yadayim. Mezalzo means that you don't care about netilat yadayim. Ne'kar min ha'olam. You're uprooted from the world. That's poritz geder, yishchenu nachash. But there's also another issue, which means that when we said that you're going to be mevakesh kikar lachem, it's actually true that the Gemara says that if you don't do netilat yadayim, so the onesh is anius. So therefore, Tosfos says that's the meaning of nekar min ha'olam, because the ani is nechshav kemet, that we learned out from the whole story of Moshe Rabbeinu, kemet to kol ha'anashim, right? That they were reduced in circumstances. And so because of that, what we're talking about over here could be the same idea, nekar min ha'olam, on this basis. So now, this is, I think, it is an important thing to mention, that we're saying it's ki'ilu ba al isha zonah. So first of all, what would that mean? So, I mean, that, the Maral explains that, remember the Gemara in Brachos learns out that Mayim Rishonim is Merumez in the Pasuk V'hit Kadishtem, V'hitem Kedoshim V'hit Kadishtem, is a reference to Mayim Rishayim. So that means that not accepting the need for Mayama Rishayim is an acceptance of the complete physicality without any sense of uniqueness or dedication of Kedusha. And therefore, it's considered to be the same as the acceptance of the pure physicality of sex without any Kedusha, which essentially equals Isha Zona, because there is no level of Chibur to Kedusha. And because of that, we call the same thing. We call eating or actual sleeping with a woman are both called the same idea of just engaging in the physical. Both of them require a Vayit Kadishtem, which is a preparation. It means by definition, Vayit Kadishtem is always a sense of preparation with the Chashivas of Kedusha that's involved. But there's another beautiful, beautiful Nukuda over here, two amazing Nukudas. One, and actually, both of them are quoted from the Baal Shem Tov. One of them is the idea that I spoke to you about before. And it's even brought in the Litvisha books, because the Ali Shor brings it as well, this concept that a person who sees things is always being held up to a mirror. This is you. So if you're seeing this, the way that you respond to it is to look into yourself. And that was the basic idea of Kol HaRo'eh Sotah B'Kilkula Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin. So what does that mean? That he is ready to sleep with a married woman? That's what it's Megala? No. It means one of these inyanim that are similar. So let's say in this case, so there was a Maisa with the Baal Shem Tov, that once he saw somebody that was nirshal with an Eshes Ish. So he said to himself, you know what? That is a raya that I once asked a Talmud Chacham to do something for me, and he hadn't yet learned anything. No, sorry, there were two Maisim. I'm confusing two Maisim. One Maisim was that the Baal Shem Tov saw a guy being Mechal Shabbos. And so he realized this must mean that he's Shayach to Chilul Shabbos. This is like the Chassidish Maisim. So he said, I must have used the Talmud Chacham to do something for me before he had learned from me. It was Chayav in the Kavod HaRav. So that's the equivalent of Chilul Shabbos, because the Talmud Chacham is Deima LeShabbos. Or in a case like this, somebody's Roya, somebody that's Baal Eshes Ish, could be it's a Raya that he's not careful about Netilat Yadayim, because it says over here it's the same thing. Or there's another Maisa, in which the Baal Shem Tov was Dorish, the Posik. This is very Nogia. Mikop Sha'ai Hatzileni, Cherpat Naval Al Tesimeni. What does David HaMelech mean? So save me from all of my own sins, and don't make me the same as a Naval who is Mechuraf, who's cursed out. So he says the point over there is that when a person judges another individual, he is paskening on himself that same din. And all of the Puraniyot that he's saying, oh, this guy, he does this and he's this, he should only drop dead, he is paskening that on himself. Why? Because even if he has no shaykhis to that Avera, but he may have a shaykhis to something similar. So in other words, if it says, Kol HaKoyes Ki'ilu Oved Avodas Kochavim, so he sees a guy going into a church and becoming a Christian, and he says, this guy should drop dead, and so on. So then the idea of the ki'ilu is that he has to pasken that on himself, because it could be the ki'ilu to him on his madrega is more chomor than this guy who has no idea what he's doing and what he's actually doing, because we're being medactic on him more, and so on. So therefore, if a person is dan another individual lekaf schus, so then it would be in the same way that he's donning himself. That's why it says, Mikop Sha'ai Hatzileni, because in this thing, V'cherpas Naval Al Tesimeni, don't allow me to curse out someone who's doing to be Malamet Chovad, teach me to be Malamet Chos. And in that, Mikop Sha'ai Hatzileni, because whatever it is that I see in the other person is definitely shayach in myself. It's an amazing, amazing limud. So that means that each time that the Gemara discusses over, we're going to have quite a few of these things as we go forward, that it's the equivalent of, it really means it's the equivalent of. It's not just like loose metaphors. And for that person on his madrega to think that he has a right to lose it because somebody did something against him is literally Avodah Zarah. Like, who are you? How does your definition of the nature of reality allow you to get angry? And like, you are God, that nobody has the right to do this against you and that against you, and it argues with you, therefore you're angry? Angry about what? What an insane thing to do. That's literally Avodah Zarah. So now getting into this nature for a moment of the idea of the Mayim, Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, Omre Bechir Barashi Amarav, they're two different halachas. The Mayim HaRishonim, Tzorech Shiagbia Yadav L'Mahala. That's why there's the minhag to hold your hands upwards and to say, Su'u Yedeichem Kodesh. Why is that? Because we're worried that the, as we'll see in a moment, let me just finish first what he says. Whereas Mayim Achronim, where you're trying to get the filth away from you, you should keep your fingers downwards so that as you pour the water, anything that's on your hands should be washed off. Tanya Namiyochi Nebraisa, like Ripchia Barashi, Hanotel Yadav, Tzarech Yargia Yadav Lamala. Why? Because Shema Yetzua Mayim Chutz LaPerek, what happens if the water will go back if you had them washed and some of the water had gone beyond your wrist? And then if you don't hold your hands up and you put them down, then the water that went above your wrist, if you don't give it a minute to just be absorbed, it's going to come back down onto your hand. But then it will now be metame the yadayim, because you will never metare any of the mayim that was above your wrist. And then you'll be mechuyev again to do the same thing. So in which case you will not have been mekayim the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. Therefore, you have to be very careful. Now, it's very interesting. The Rashba has a tshuva in which he says that this halacha is only true where you washed your hands. You didn't have much water and you washed your hands only until your knuckles, which is okay. But, and that's actually what we do on Tisha B'Av and so on. So the problem over there is that you can't be so medayik that it's exactly the area that is the part that is for the details of Dayim. Some of it must have gone a little bit above. And therefore, if it comes back down, it'll be metame. But if you washed your entire hand all the way up to your wrist, once you do that, the water that goes beyond your wrist is not going to become tame. That is the Rashba Shita. We don't paskin like that, la halacha, but it's fascinating, that din. And then this is Nogea, the next piece, because Omer Rabbi Abo, Kola Ochel Pat, Beloni Guv Yadayim. Now this, by the way, is very Nogea, the question about how much water did you use? Because if you use a full revi'it, then, or if you first wash with once, that's what we do twice, and then you wash again, so then the second time that you wash is metaher, the mayim that were on your hands. And therefore, it should make it impossible because the mayim ashniim are metairing the mayim harishonim. And therefore, the question is, what would be the problem? Now, this is nogea, this next piece, because Rabbi Abo says, kolo ochel pat baloni guv yadayim. If you didn't dry your hands after you washed and you eat bread, ki'ilu ocha lechem tame. So it says, if you were eating your bread, that was betuma. Shneimar vayomer Hashem, kacha yochlu b'nei Yisrael et lachmam tame. So the Miri says, lachmam tame means lechem mayim tame. So in other words, if you're eating things that are disgusting, Rashi's words means, if you're eating something that's disgusting, which was the Yecheskel cake that was disgusting, that he made it from barley, which is for horses and so on. So Hashem was saying, this is what they do, which means that the something that is mos, that's a disgusting thing, and people are turned off by it, is the equivalent of eating betuma. So now, This is the way that Rashi understands the sugya. It's a function of mius, and we're bringing a raya from Yechezkel that something that is unattractive is called tuma. So according to this, and this is how the Taz paskins, that even if you would have used the full revias at one time, and over there the din is that the mayim doesn't become tame, but you still would have to wipe off that water because of the din of mius, which would mean that if there's a din of netila, they made this. How about if you did only tefila? You stuck your hands into a river or something, right? So is this halacha a din just because your hands are wet? Or is it a din specifically because you poured water over your hands? So this is actually interesting. It's machlokas. The Taz says, if your hands are wet because you were tevel them, it's not considered to be a problem. And there's no issue. Whereas others say beferish. If the issue is mius, what difference does it mean where the water comes from? Okay. I mean, the Chazanish says that the tefillah doesn't require niguv. Only tefillah requires niguv. The minhag l'maaseh is to always do niguv. Now, this is again another issue. And that's the question. When do you make the bracha? So if you're making a bracha of anatilat yadayim, if the drying of the hands is not considered to be part of the chiyuv of the netila, so then how could you make al netilat yadayim after you do it? You should have to make al netilat yadayim before you do it, because the niguv is only something that has to do with not being disgusting. But you already completed your mitzvah, which is wild. And there's a very interesting shir by Rabbi Yoshi Ber, where he points out that the Rambam brings the halacha of niguv at the very end of the perek, and he doesn't include it together with the dinim of the tilas yadayim. But the Rambam also paskes, as you might have noticed from Hilchos Pesach, he also paskes that you first say the al netilas yadayim and then you do the netilas yadayim. So that's very consistent, because you can't say it afterwards, because it's not over lasiyasa. So then that nafkamina in terms of tefila versus netila would be very nogei ala halacha. When do you make the bracha? If you're being tevel yadayim and there's no chiyav of niguv, you would have to do it before you do the tefila instead of saying it after you do the tefila. So, I mean, you can see these are like fascinating shitas over here. Lamaisa, the bir halacha brings that he brings this from the Rabbeinu Hanano, from our sugya, that the din of niguv is a din in tuma, and the Beis Yosef says beferish that the niguv is bishum tuma, and therefore even if the water technically is tahar, still you should dry them. But lemaisa, if you use the revias bevasachas, you used again mayim shniim here, so then you would not need niguv. That's what the Beis Yosef says. But the Rabbeinu Hananel, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Bir Halacha, Rabbeinu Hananel says, even though it's true that it's Mishum Tuma, but it's not the way that the Beis Yosef is learning, because if you use a revias or you use water again, then it's not Tame. So why would there be a problem? It's because of a different issue of Tuma. And this, I think most people are familiar with this Bir Halacha. It's because of the fact that since your hands are wet, you're going to be machshir the food that you're eating to be mekabel tuma. And therefore, it's as if you're making things more tame by doing that. Okay, so then, I mean, why would they not have made the same takana betfila? All of that isn't clear. But as you can see, all very complex sugyas, just marumas in this one or two lines of Gemara. Okay, getting back to the pasuk. About, we were right in the middle and we interrupted. Getting back to the pasuk, ba'at ki karlachem. So why does it go on to say, eshet ish nefesh yikara tatsud? Understand, how is the nefesh yikara going to be captured by an eshes ish? What this means is nefesh yikara. It means a guy who's a Baal Ga'ava. That's what it means. He thinks he's great. So call Adam Shiyeshbo Gatsut HaRuach, somebody who is very, very choshev in his own eyes, Libisof Nichshal Be'eshet Ish. So here again, if somebody sees an Eishes Ish in this situation, he has to examine the darga of his own gaiva, a different issue again. So that means the Basof Nichshal Eishes Ish, Namav Eishet Ish, Nefesh Yikara Tatsud. And again, Rava says, this doesn't make sense. Why would it call it a Nefesh Yikara? It should call it a Nefesh Gvoa. I mean, that's the way we always refer to gaiva, as Nefesh Gvoa. Furthermore, it should say, he Tatsud, the gaiva of his neshama will actually be nitzod, in other words, he will trap the Eishes Ish, not the other way around. Ela Amar Rava, kol haba al Eishes Ish, what it means is something else. Somebody who is nichshal in an Eishes Ish, doesn't matter how much Torah he's learned, afilu lomad Torah, which is called Yikara, Yikarahi mipninim, that it's more chashev from a Kohen Gadol, shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim, which we learn la'alacha means, that if you have a Kohen Gadol am ha'aretz, and you have a Yisrael who's a Talmud Chacham, then the Yisrael, me'ikar adin, is more chashev, and we're makdim him, lebrochem, so we don't do it because we don't want to cause machlokesin, but me'ikar adin is greater than a Kohen Gadol, shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim. That's Yikarahu Mifninim. So you would think that that would be enough to save him from going to hell. No. He Tetsudenu Ledina Shogeinam. That Avera is going to grab him, entrap him in hell. That's the pshat. So therefore, okay, so now we have a machlokas about Nefesh Yikara, meaning Nefesh Gvoah, or Nefesh Yikara, meaning a Nefesh that learnt a lot of Torah. But meanwhile, we have the original Reb Chiya Bar Abba that we're talking about Ga'ava. So Omer Reb Yochanan Mishum Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasut HaRuach, Ki'ilu Oved Avodat Kochavim. If somebody has that arrogance, then it's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. K'tivach HaTo'avat Hashem Kol Gvalev, says Beferish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nauseated, disgusted by anyone who has that haughtiness in him. Uchtivata lotavito eval betecha, where it's nogea the dinim of a pesel, you shouldn't bring it into your house. And it's called the same lashon toeva, which means it's the same to me, your gaiva, as putting up a cross in your home. Incredible. Sheesh. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Yochanan didei omar keilu kafar biikar. As if you don't believe in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema v'rom levavecha, when you become arrogant, v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha, you don't even know that God exists. Reb Chama Bar Chanina says, it's ki'ilu ba'al kol ha'arayot. We're talking about sleeping with an Eishes Ish. Why don't we throw everything in? And again, this is incredible because people are so quick to judge. Oh, everybody knows how terrible it is. This guy, he was caught with his neighbor's wife, you know. And the fact that the person who's saying it is known to be like a big ball gaiva. And it's as if he slept with all the neighbor's wives. That never occurs to him. But he's ready quick on the judgment call, you know. So it's kilu ba'al kol ha'arayot. K'tivacha to'avat Hashem kol gvalev. And it says, ki et kol ha'to'evot ha'ela. So what ha'el? So what are these kol ha'to'evot? All of the list of arayas. And it's considered to be the same of kol gvalev. Amazing. Ula says, it's ki'ilu bana bama. It's as if he built a bama. And okay, for some reason, Rashi says over here, it's not just a bama, but it's a bama for Avodah Zarah. Because, I mean, why would we be going down? We've already shown that it's like Avodah Zarah. So what would we say? It's as if he built a bama to do Avodah for Hashem Yisbarach. I mean, we've already said it's much worse than that. So the point over here that he built a bama with an Avodah Zarah on it, that's the point. Shenemar chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama be'apo. Forget about how choshev humans are. Bamenech shavu. What do you think he's so choshev for? Al tikri bameh ala bama. So somebody who believes with the arrogance in his own value, it's as if he built this Bamet Nechshav. And why does it continue on to say, Yad li Yad lo yinake? Omar. Omar Rav. So this is the end of that pasuk. So what this means is, called, now Rashi's Girsa is, and the same thing is true of all the other Rishonim, this got confused with the other Pasuk of Yad Liyad Lo Yinakeh. This is the end of the Pasuk we've been discussing. And therefore, what we are darshaning over here is the end of Toavat Hashem Kol Gval Lev, nothing to do with Eishes Ish. In which case, Rashi's Girsa is that Kol Hamizga'eh, where his actual Lashon is called Sheyesh Bo Gasut HaRuach, even if he is so chashuv that he spent his entire life working in Kiruv or publishing books to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awareness to the world, I don't care if he's like Avram Avinu, Afilu hikno l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamayim v'aretz ka'Avram Avinu. That's the idea of Yad L'Yad. Because about Avram Avinu it says, Hari moti yadi el Hashem el elyon konei shamayim v'aretz. So even if this guy is like Avram Avinu with his yadayim to be makna the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he is stuck up, lo yinakeh midin asher geinom, it's not going to help him, all of these things. Kashilu, I'm almost finished. I'm really sorry. I just wanted to finally catch up because we've been... Kashilu l'devei Rabbi Shila. What do you mean? That's not Yad L'Yad. It should have said Yadi. Because that's what Avram Avinu said. Arimoti Yadi. Yad L'Yad seems to mean something else. Ela armi devei Rabbi Shila. Even if this person who has gaiva was the same darg of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was Makabel Torah ke Moshe Rabbeinu, and by Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Mi yimino eish tat lamo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave from his hands into the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't think that he is spared from Gehenna because of that. That gaiva is enough to put even someone on that madriga straight into hell. Lo yinakeh midina shel Gehenom. Kash leil Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't make sense either. It shouldn't have said Yad Li Yad. It should have said Yad Miyad, because Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah Miyadai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I say it means even people who are very careful about giving tzedakah by Yad Li Yad, nobody sees it. He puts the money into the hand directly of the ani in a way that's invisible. Afilu osa tzedakah b'seter, dichtiv matan b'seter yichpe af, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be unable to be angry because it'll turn the baaf away. It doesn't help from the din of Gehenna when it comes to Gasut HaRuach, which is absolutely astonishing. We've talked a million times, but it's so important to realize that the most central thing that the Torah teaches us always is a system of values. And if your system of values is wrong, everything you do is wrong. And as we showed from the Gemara, it doesn't matter if the system of values ends up valuing even more something that the Torah says you don't need to value more. If it's more, it's less. Because the entire system, that's why in the Torah, values are not called values, they're called systems. Erechin. And that's the erech. An erech means the way the system is. There's no other word for system. And therefore, the idea of learning these things is to truly change your values. It's shocking how many of our values are defined by Western civilization. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. And that people are ready to die for those values, right? And there's no question to rape a woman, I mean, deserves to be killed. No, it doesn't. It deserves a $50 fine. Masha Inkain being stuck up, that deserves going to hell. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't mean that. I do mean that. I absolutely do mean that. To us, it's 100% clear that, you know, I don't know, whatever crazy things that they have nowadays. I mean, this guy groped this woman. Oh, so he should be thrown into jail forever. Then Bichlal isn't even included in anything. But that he should be somebody who doesn't care about Netilas Yadayim, and so on and so forth. This is a complete inversion of values, and it destroys whatever values you do have, because these are not the values of the Torah. So therefore, they're chinam, and hatred of a person on the basis of he did this and he did that, which the Torah doesn't recognize as he did this or he did that, and not caring about the real things. He spoke in the middle of davening. Now, that doesn't matter. Everybody speaks in the middle of davening. I mean, it's unbelievable. So what this does to a person is it makes him literally a member of an Am Acher. He has no shaykhus to the whole Indian of the Torah. Don't you see this? That's why these things are not Musar Nekudas. They are the essence of how it is that you face reality. And if you cannot train yourself to realize that, you're never going to be able to get out of living basically an ace of life, which is a horror. Okay, so that is some of the very important Nekudas. I mean, remember that this whole idea of Saita is here to teach me. If you see something, you must respond to it. And it's broadening the issue of what that response needs to be within yourself. So we should be zocha to v'yitkadishtem v'yitem kedoshim. The real way, the way the Torah wants it. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. Sorry for keeping you, but Baruch Hashem, we seem to have gotten back up to date. And we hope to meet again tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Now that we had miyad liyad neitein tzedakah b'seter, Reb Barnea has fortunately reminded us that that too is one of the things that we just came across in the Gemara, must be a tzedakah us. And that means if you want to still get in money for Rav Kaplan's fund or for any other funds, let me know in enough time. Or just get on the internet and put that money in, utilizing whatever it is you wish to use, either for the IRS, for the local IRS, all Bezrat Hashem, or I'm ready to give it for you if you just need to let me know. Okay, everybody, Kol Tov. I'm so grateful to see you. I really appreciate being with you so much. Yes, Reb Daniel. What?
Is the hearing same as seeing in terms of hearing things that...
Yeah, yeah, whatever you're exposed to, you're exposed to for a reason. And that it's somehow or other, it reflects. It's a reflection, it's a mirror. That's the Ali Shores. I think it was at the Ali Shore. Maybe it was from Rav Tesler. But he uses the marshal of a mirror. You see something, you're looking in a mirror. You're not looking at something else. It's your mind's interpretation of what it is that you're seeing. And that mind interpretation is about you. It's not about anything else. Okay, Rabbi Osai. Again, thank you so much. So wonderful to be with you. Kol Tov.